Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.
Life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill. I'm delighted again to be able to speak to Sarah Barrington, CEO of Verici DX, a developer of advanced clinical diagnostics for organ transplant. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. And on the back of such good news, I'm delighted to be chatting with you today.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I'm absolutely, you know, fabulous news in terms of sealing that deal with Thermo Fisher, with the licensing commercialization. Maybe we can start there. Could you walk us through sort of like how the relationship will work, the sort of time scales and the sort of key components that each company will bring to the relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and one of the things, as most people know, Thermo are a very large company. And one, you know, you always get a little bit concerned that you might get lost in such a large company with so many products. We are actually working with a division that they have solely focused on transplant care. And they have a clarity of vision and a singularity of purpose in the area that has kind of really matched our vision of that end-to-end care. So one of the things that they recognized with Clarava is the novelty. As everybody knows, one of the things we've said is we were thrilled to validate the first-in-kind test. This is about the patient's immune response. Nothing like it in the market. They agreed. And they're very, very strong in pre-transplant tests. They've probably got the most significant and focused sales force in the US and worldwide on that area. And they had been watching us for a while, they told us. Always good to know. And then obviously once that was validated, they were very interested in it. We agreed to do a licensing deal. So what that does is it just takes that one product out of our portfolio, moves it across to their labs. They've just recently opened, I think it was in April of this year, a 16,000 foot square foot facility in Indianapolis. And I think that this really is a testament to their commitment to doing transplant care, which is basically clear testing. And obviously we are being transferred, that sounds a little over dramatic, but the test is being transferred into their facilities and they will run it and offer it out of there. This obviously is good news for us as it helps us free up resources for us to focus on our other commercial test, which is Tutivia.
Right. And so just for a layman perspective, as for investors, they're bringing the sort of the supply chain, the, you know, hopefully in the fullness of time, the manufacturing and the sales force, and you guys are bringing the IPR and the unique technology. Is that sort of like top level how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best way I can think of it is just being able to hit the ground running at, 100 miles an hour. For us, as our investors have noted, when we've launched a product ourselves, we have to gear up, we have to educate the market. We're out there also getting our Verici brand known, as well as the product's information, and you build up. Nothing wrong with that, but that's how you hit the ground running at a much slower pace. The ability to use an existing infrastructure, Salesforce credibility, people that are already walking into the hospital clinics and being able to offer other complementary tests means that you can hit the ground running at 100 miles an hour. You're walking into an existing sort of network infrastructure and ability to sell the product very fast.
Yeah, and I guess they've also got all those touch points with effectively everybody in the US. And I mean, when you do sort of like, hopefully, if it is a success, go outside that. And likewise, I imagine when it turns to sort of like, the insurance sort of refund, for patients, insurance coverage, they've got all those, the IT systems that make sure there's correct billing and invoicing and all that kind of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, healthcare is not a light lift. that would
really
go down as the understatement of the century. And there is a lot that you need. I think it's also the credibility that comes with this and the large infrastructure in terms of supporting a vision. One of the things I would say is, it's not giving much credence to the value of a company, but the ability, for example, just to go up onto the hill and lobby, supporting the overall patient's agenda for healthcare, and to be able to partner with the clinicians really at the, even at the policy making level, is an infrastructure we don't have. I'm delighted to be able to partner with a company that does. For such a such an exciting novel product.
Yeah, well, for a 177 billion market cap company to partner with Verici, then, it says a lot about Verici actually as well. So very well done. Can you just
Thank
talk
you.
Through the commercials associated with obviously granting Thermo Fisher that license, and because it seems to be that you've got over the next 12 months a potential $5 million sort of like payments.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're not going to disclose the full deal. We want to give our investors enough confidence that this is a worthwhile deal. And I think we've done that. It is an exciting time for us to be able to pull in some cash into the company to support other activities, at the same time not having to be so thinly spread across products that we don't, that we're not particularly successful at all. So I think the commercial aspect of this, as we noted in the press release, are really quite advantageous to us. And you're right, it's a little bit of the very, very large company talking to the very small company. We are delighted by the endorsement that gives us and the credibility to our technology. One of the things that I'm delighted about is that they will be talking about RNA signatures alongside us. This is a new technology in the field. There are some advantages that we are talking about, obviously, in the rollout of Tutivia. It's the early dynamic personalized kind of messages. These are quite significant advantages of the base technology. And obviously, now there are two voices in the field talking about the base technology. And I would hope that all boats float on that.
Yeah, well, once their sales team is geared up and trained on it, then you're going to have a huge voice out in the market, no doubt about it. Just in terms of the commercials, I know you can't take too much, but just those milestones, given that Calava is already passed with flying colours, its validation study, I'm guessing there's there's no technical sort of like extra work that needs to be done on that, because it sort of like it already does it. It's largely transferring the IPR so they can actually do the test in their labs. Is that really the essence of the
milestone? It's a fully validated test.
Yeah,
they need to bring it up in their labs. There's a certain amount of what you might call development that goes with that.
Yeah.
But it's not fundamentally, let's have to develop a test and but clinically validate it, which takes the time. This is ready to go. In terms of that kind of clinical validation, the work now is about around adoption, utility, more studies. We'll be able to, and they do encourage us to keep it in terms of some research aspects. And there are definitely some groups that this test is particularly important for. Mm. And we will be, able to carry on those studies to be able to sort of explore the full importance of the test as they deal with the commercial, front end for adoption and utility. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it also, the sort of long-term vision. They've obviously, this is a strategic area of their, sort of like product development. How does, just top level, how does that sort of like work through? How would you envision, if this works and the relationship does, becomes a commercial success, how are they, or how are you, sort of seeing this going forward as a sort of like maybe in 5 years' time?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And again, I think I said it before about the clarity of their vision. It's quite exceptional, to be honest with you, and very impressive. One of the things that I've noticed, and if you can read the press yourself, they have been making other moves in the whole transplant field. I think the last, there's been two large announcements this year. One for a cell-free DNA kit, one for a move into proteomics. This is what I mean, that the singularity of purpose is really quite impressive. Mm. And we can see their vision in discussions. We know our visions are aligned, and they know that we've got more to go. I think you have to start somewhere. I'm delighted that we've started somewhere so soon. I would say that we have an opportunity to have many more discussions going down the line.
Yeah. Well, just on that, I mean, I also noticed that you've given them a non-exclusive access to the urine samples in your sort of like, your asset database, in that research database. And I did have a look on their website, and they do have urine-based sort of like diagnostic tests. And
that's right.
So just give us a bit of color in terms of, you've got a lot of potential assets. If they're coming to you as well, or to help them on their urine test, then that says a lot about this the sort of valuable nature of the assets in there.
It's funny, I think we've talked a long time, for quite a while about the research asset, which was never branded, and that's probably a mistake, but the research asset being our fourth product. There's a couple of aspects to that. The way we designed the clinical trial was designed very thoughtfully and with long-term measures. As we've noted to our investors, this end-to-end picture and the integration of that is something we've only started to really scratch the surface of. The depth to which we also understood that the end-to-end testing wasn't necessarily all going to be in one path line. That's going to be the main, but there's aspects to the whole community that needed to be serviced somewhere else. So during the trial, we decided, we had gone out to look for a biorepository in this area and found nothing that we could really use. So as we were doing it anyway, we decided to do it well, and to a point where that we have a very, very deep, comprehensive, asset there. And this is not only in just physical samples, but the data as well. So that we've pulled this out. And I think we've talked a few times And not all research collaborations will we be able to announce. That's not that field. But we have said that we would be able to, you know, to really embrace part of our philosophy, which is we want to pick up the pace of innovation for patient outcomes. This is an area that sort of demands, I think, a sort of a refresh and some real innovation in the area to you know, to level up that game. And we would like to address that. And we've always said we can't do it alone. There's too much. So we have always said, let's position ourselves as a research partner, and we'll be able to monetize that. That's our fourth product. So, you know, something good, but something good for our investors as well. And I think it's, you know, not being really recognized as a value in our company. We had to value it for kind of insurance purposes. And I was surprised by the size of the number. But, you know, it's the way we've collected it. That serial nature of the data is unparalleled. And I think you're right. I think this is a very public endorsement of that strategy, and a very clear notice that we can monetize this, and this is valuable to our investors.
Yeah, well, some of the scale of Thermo Fisher, who've got so much scientific research under their hood, and to come to you for something separate then, or something different for their diagnostics, is a real tip to the quality of the of the research there. Now, just turning to sort of the other two tests, Tutivia and Protegia, how do you see those sort of like dovetailing with the Clarava test that is obviously, you know, hopefully Thermo Fisher is going to be releasing into the sales? Because I know there's a synergistic value if you're a doctor and a patient, if you have that suite of products and getting the information from all three.
Yeah, that's what we believe, and we're carrying on to working. In many ways, our strategy has not changed. This is just, you know, an acceleration of that. That end-to-end testing can still be offered into the marketplace, probably a little bit more readily than we could get to it ourselves, given the current reluctance of the markets to fully fund growth companies right now. So this is a way for us to continue that strategy, to be able to offer that end-to-end. You know, we're looking at Protega to sort of be the final flourish on those three tests. And there are we know that there's a lot of interest in that progress as well in the marketplace. So I think that the strategy of that end-to-end testing has not been changed. It's just nice to see our vision being basically endorsed by others, you know, others' vision as well.
And then just in terms of this whole sort of like, you know, business model, does it give the board a sort of bit of optionality that, you know, it hasn't got to do all the heavy lifting of commercializing itself? It can, commercializing all its products. It can basically become a sort of like a really, you know, sort of like tightly sort of like in knowledge bank, a research bank, et cetera, of scientific, you know, R&D, and therefore can license it out to other parties. Because there is a similar example on, as it points to investors, there is a similar example on AIM. It's called Bioventix, and that trades at about 13 times sales, and it just essentially develops the IPR but licenses it out to big third parties, particularly in the medical diagnostics.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that, you know, as you're looking at a company, you can be on a path and circumstances can change, and the ability to pivot, to react, to build, to continue to build is an important aspect of you know, running a company. And I think that both management in Verici and the board have already shown that we've pivoted. You know, we set out 3 years ago. I was reminded we had a 3-year anniversary the other day. Such a short time and such a long time all at the same time. But, you know, 3 years ago, the world was very different. It was growth. It was put lots of money in up front. You know, we will fund the growth. Circumstances changed. The markets changed. We pivoted. We said, okay, we'll go slower, more cautiously. We won't build a big company. We'll keep small. We'll keep on our path, but do it a different way. And there is no reason not to suppose that we'll continue to, you know, respond to our circumstances and to pivot accordingly.
Yeah, well, you certainly done a fantastic job this morning. I'll just highlight to investors that Singers, the house broker, has put out a new research note today, and they're forecasting sales for next year, 2024, at $8.6 million. And they have a target price of 30p per share. If you did a sort of like a hyper, that, and that 8.6 is just really related to two products, Tutivia and obviously the 5 million of, you know, sort of payments on Clarava. So it just is sort of like, you know, half of your sort of like your product portfolio there. But if you put a 10 times multiple, you'd get 40p a share. So, you know, it shows this, yes, the shares have done very well today, but the significant upside, particularly as you sort of like fill out that product portfolio and bring them to market. And hopefully there'll be major benefits to patients as well as obviously generate shareholder value.
Well, Paul, I am the CEO. I'm going to always tell you that we're undervalued. So,
well, I must admit, I've got to agree with you. I've been investing for 30 years. So, anyway, brilliant. Well, great news, Sarah, and very much look forward in touching base. The next big news.
Yes, thank you. And I just take a moment just before we go. Yeah. I want to again give a shout out to my team. I have a fantastic group of people working for Ricci, and they need to be recognized. They work extremely hard. They're incredibly focused, and I'm very proud of them. Well done, chaps. We've all done well. Thank you.
Well done. Thank you.
Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hey, it's Boxer.
And I'm Sarah Towns with Experience Columbus.
Did you know Columbus is home to the number one science museum in the country?
Ranked number 7 on Food & Wine's list of America's next great food cities?
And one of Condé Nast Traveler's top 10 best big cities in America?
Yes, Columbus. An Experience Columbus podcast keeps you in the know about what's happening in the Arch City.
Binge, listen to all the current episodes.
Or catch up on all things Columbus and discover what makes this city so special.
By the end, you'll be asking yourself, can all of this really exist in one city?
Yes, Columbus.